Our scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, because theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Thus ends the reading of God's word. The movie The Great Gatsby opens with a short vignette. It takes press clippings from the Society column. Shows the picture of the stately mansion, silk monogrammed bedding, gold vanity set, an opulent pocket watch and ring. Every shot seemingly chosen to show the great fortune and power of Jay Gatsby. But if you've ever read the novel or you've ever seen the movie, you know the irony is that the Great Gatsby wasn't that great. But he sure appeared to be. There's a similar story. It's in the book of Esther. And this is one of those things that you don't put together at the first, but you see King Xerxes and his palace and all his power and all his money. And he is seeking pleasure in the women of the world. And Esther is one who's paraded before him. And she seems to have no power, and he seems to have it all. What you don't know is that the people receiving this lesson had already known that Xerxes fell to the Greeks and had to come back penniless and powerless. And it was Esther who would have the power in the end. There's a contrast that we don't appreciate because we buy in to the game before we realize what is being played. We go to win. Power, money, fame. He who dies with the most toys wins. And we assume things that are not true. That those people out there who have it all have it all. How many stories have you heard? The one, the most recent one that I heard is a guy named Brad Pitt. Anybody hear of Brad Pitt? When Brad Pitt is talking, he says, I was married to not only one, but two of the most beautiful women in the world. I was the sexiest man alive. I had million-dollar contracts and people fighting over what movie I would be in. And I wasn't happy. He says, I don't know what it is, but this isn't it. One of my favorite stories is about a golfer. His name was David Duval. Anybody remember David Duval? There was a time when Tiger Woods had a rival who was almost in the same category, and he was playing brilliant golf, and he was just so intense. Everybody just kind of backed away because he would always be obsessing about every little thing, and he won a Grand Slam event. And shortly after that, David Duvall disappeared from the scene. And what you might not understand is he says, everybody told me that when I made the big time, when I won a Grand Slam event, I'd be happy. But it didn't happen. But you see, that's the mindset that you have to have as you look back on this story of the Beatitudes, because the first people who heard these words are going, what? Blessed are who? Because of what? You've got to be kidding me. Makes no sense at all. But you see, there is wisdom in it. People might look at it and say, blessed are those who mourn. So it's good when you're suffering loss and you're in desperation. That's not actually what's being said. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Have you ever known anyone, probably a guy, who just marched on as if nothing had happened, refused to acknowledge what might have gone on? They don't get comforted. They just drag it along behind them. Have you ever seen the movie Scrooge, where the ghosts are dragging the chains with the weights and the boxes on them? That's what you go through life doing. You're dragging this along. You're never going to be comforted. But it seems backwards, because we reward the behavior that we don't actually want to see. Because it's all about winning. I was told there's a football game today. It's impossible to avoid the fact that there is a football game today. It is in every commercial. If you go through the store, all the displays saying, for the big game, this is what you need. But what I am struck by is that there's a great deal of hype. And most of the hype is around players like George Kittle and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. They're offensive players. They are all pros. They're the stars, and they're getting nothing but attention this week. But if you ever played football, the first thing a coach tells you is defense wins championships. We're not talking about those guys. But I want to take it a step further. You might know who some of those people are. You might know Patrick Mahomes because he's on the State Farm commercial like three times an hour right now. Does anybody know who Harrison Butker is? I didn't. I had to look it up. Harrison Butker is the place kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, there is an excellent chance that when the game comes down to the end, the one who's going to decide who wins or who loses is Harrison. I am a pretty big sports fan, and I had to Google it because I had no idea who their kicker was. But the difference between winning and losing might be that guy. But the thing is that we bought into the world's understanding of what winning is. I will bet that in a short amount of time, one of these teams is going to win the Super Bowl. And there are players for whom they are going to believe that their dream has come true. And then in the weeks to come, you're going to be reading about the players who are totally disillusioned because their dreams came true and they're still not happy. Because they don't understand what they're trying to win. We bought in to a smoke and mirrors understanding of what winning is. I'd like to close with a personal illustration, and it comes from a gym coach who I actually hated his guts because he had fun tormenting people, but this one day I was not the one tormented, so I liked it. He says, so just go ahead, choose up sides, just go with your friends, do whatever you want to do, and they all choose up sides, and all the big guys go over here, and all the little scrawny guys like me are over here. And he says, oh, you ready to play? And he had basketballs and footballs and kickballs and stuff. And everybody's, yeah. He says, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to run through the playground, through the tunnel, through the swing sets, around the athletic fields. Then we're going to climb up and over the backstop behind the baseball field. By the time we got halfway around the athletic fields, all the big guys are back there. And I came around the end, and I'm climbing up the backstop, and there's nobody around us. There's just my friend and I are going up and over the top. And we came up, and we went over the top. And he started laughing at everybody. He says, you started choosing teams without asking what game you were going to play. How stupid is that? But we do it all the time. We start playing the game before we know what the goal is. That's what the Beatitudes are supposed to remind us of. He says, before you get charging off into the world to win the game, know what winning is supposed to look like. So I'm not saying don't watch the Super Bowl. Although I will say other stuff is happening in the world. There's this Brexit thing that just came down. There was just a trial in the Senate. There's caucuses in Iowa tomorrow. It's Groundhog's Day, for crying out loud. But we're talking about football, but that's fine. But maybe look at the story behind the story. Look at the players that are playing. Look at the lives that are affected. And think about what winning might actually look like. Could you pray with me? Lord, as we come to you today, we come reading the words of the Beatitudes and we're going, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, blessed are those, blessed are those, blessed are those. And we forget how strange and awkward they must have sounded the first time they were heard. Give us their eyes. Help us to look at the world and understand that there are lost people everywhere playing a game that they can't win, thinking it will make them happy, when neither the playing nor the winning will make them happy. But if we're looking for joy, which is what brings true happiness, we find it in you. Help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, and allow you to add all things to us. And when we see the people in this world frustratingly grinding away their lives trying to win a game that they can't win, give them the same truth, a glimmer of your love, so that they might know what winning truly is. Amen.